over everything for 4 years. It's 8 hours. Whitney's there. And then see, seniors are exempt from regular final exams because of the comprehensive.
Well, I have I just had to tidy up that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I forgot which was where I was. That's like picking up your tools after you get through gardening. Or putting up your saddle after you get through riding.
Yeah. What kind of little stand did you make? That work all right?
Yeah.
A wooden base, huh? Does the cable that goes all the way work better than the one that... Let's see, I did two, didn't I, hooked together?
I don't use the others anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple more of those cables. When I got a place to put them, I just haven't had the energy to... expand. Well, Miss Daisy really, really tough. How long you... Listen, Miss Daisy.
How long have I listened to her?
How long can you listen?
I don't know.
15 minutes? No, I'm asking you for permission.
Well... Well, it depends on what it is. So, it's all about something interesting.
It's all interesting to me. Well, she's not on something interesting. I'm just waiting to work into something,
mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's like playing the game.
Yeah.
She's got in the last few times, so that you don't need the tackle.
I'm telling you, that little 18. I told Nick how she treated Miss Faye, and she put on, she did it double dose this morning. Yesterday when I went out, you had to wash my outside shirt. But this time, I had to wash both shirts, and my breeches, and my hat. Now, she acted like she hadn't dooted. There were several times, and every time it was plenty for me. I've got to get a little tube to reach up, so I'm gonna have to do that. Moving her, she's got a cut.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. 1/4 and makes it bleed every time.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least did this morning again. If I had a little tube, it would leave all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get it.
There's a cut. Why she won't let the cap over there?
No, it's just because it's swollen. Mm-hmm. It makes her nervous. Once she's melted down, I'll take it out. If she let the calf get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens with the calf. He let those big ones go.
Mm-hmm.
And work on the small ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until he's a month old. So you see what I've got ahead of me.
You got a month of doing that every day.
Mm-hmm. Like today. Is, hell, he went all over the country this morning,
That's what he said. Got all his business done.
She took me halfway around the country.
Where did she take
her? Well, we went to eat breakfast down at the Trade Wind. And then we rode to the back. I rode with her down in her car to the back of her pasture down to the training ring, to the track where the guy was running the horse too much. She was yelling and screaming and honking the horn.
What?
She was yelling and screaming and honking the horn. He was not supposed to gallop. And so he wasn't really supposed to even be jogging. He was just supposed to be walking the horse for a month. The horse had just been just back from an operation on his leg that cost $50,000 all the way in Philadelphia or someplace like that. And the horse is insured for $100,000. And he has his legs all wrapped up. But he still has to be exercised. He's only supposed to be walked. And the guy was galloping him around. And she was whooping mad. Oh, she was really mad. And she drove halfway down there, and he saw her coming, so he stopped and started walking. And so she didn't go all the way down there. And she came back just waiting for him to get back so she could cuss him out. She was stewing and grumbling and kicking everybody in sight. Then the guy came back and snuck in the back and got away before she could see him. And so she said she's going to be out there 8 o'clock tomorrow when he starts waiting for him. She wanted to know if I wanted to come down, if we wanted to come down and watch him work out the horses, you know, when they start at 8 in the morning.
No, it's not the horses we want.
I know, that's why that's why it's hard to say. Well, we just come down and listen
what
to you.
What you want. Maybe she understood that.
Maybe.
Do you think you could rig up for that?
I don't know. I don't know if I could get close enough.
Well, if you just got a little out of it, it'd be worth. So she's not conscious of any spectators when she gets started.
No.
I'd imagine that she would erupt no matter at something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't. Did she come in on the trade wind?
On the what? Oh, at the trade wind? Yeah, see, that was after we went to eat after all this.
Did she come in on the trade wind?
On the place? No. She said she eats there a lot. She knows the lady that owns it and runs it. She came in. The lady came running up and asked her how she's doing.
Did she?
Yeah. Mrs. Davis said she wasn't doing too well because that so-and-so trainer of hers was acting up, and she called him every name in the book.
Right there in public?
Yeah.
All over again?
Yeah, about 10 times. In the car. And then, well, there's about 5 things going wrong at once. She was really... I got there about 9:30. And she went at the barn. They said, go down to the house. So I went down to the house. And she was just getting up. She said she'd been up all night working out the tax thing. She was mad about that because they had been taxing her for land that she didn't own. She said if she paid 3 years tax on 20 acres of land back there that wasn't even hers. She said that they sent her a thing for that 20 acres, and she figured that was her 20 acres. So she'd been paying the tax. All of a sudden, the guy came up the other day, Mr. Somebody, whoever's neighbors, and told her that that was his 20 acres, and she said she'd kind of thought that it wasn't hers, and she wondered why she was paying taxes on it, and he said he had been paying taxes on it, and she said those guys said they're just he she said they're gonna have to take some aspirin when they're through with me today. She was getting ready to go down there, and she said there was about 10 things that were wrong they had done with to her. She had gone and planted $100. She spent a couple hundred dollars planting it in coastal Bermuda, and that 20 acres, it wasn't hers because she figured it was hers since they'd been taxing her for it. She went down there last year, and they told her that the taxes hadn't been paid on it for 3 years and wanted her to pay the back taxes on it. So she paid them for 3 years of back taxes, and now she finds out it's not hers. This other guy had already been paying it. And then there was another 26 acres back there that she got a bill for this year, outside of the other 20, plus she got a bill for those 22. So that's 46 acres that she got a bill for this year that she doesn't even own. And so she says they're going to be owing me. And
that's too much for one morning, isn't it?
I know. And then the telephones wouldn't work. She tried to call up at the barn, and the phone wouldn't work. She went up to the barn and tried to call out, and it wouldn't work again. And she threw the telephone down and kicked it. And then she got in the car and she said, "Come on, let's go get something to eat." And she got down there to the trade wind. She says, "Let me use your phone." She goes back in there and calls up the phone company and cusses them out for not having her phone fixed. And then she came back to table and she says, "And then she told me about all the tax things." She said she'd been up till 3 o'clock in the morning figuring out that thing and how much they owed her and what she owed them and the back taxes and this and that. And she said they print up every year in the newspaper who's delinquent on their taxes, and she gets it every year for stuff that she didn't even owe taxes for, and they've been defacing her on property that she doesn't even own because she hasn't paid her taxes. She's been paying it for the other ones and not for them. And and she said they're really going to get it. She said they're going to have to sit down after they're through with her. Go rest.
Well, the first thing, she'd been up all night on the taxes, and then they had been overcharging her.
Yeah, they had been charging her for what she didn't even own.
So she was bad shape to start
with.
That's
right. That's right. And then the telephone, and then the trainer.
Then you all drove over to
there. Then she came out to look at the horse. She was going to show me the new foals, and she happened to look down there and see the guy galloping her horse.
That had a $50,000 operation.
Yeah, it was insured for $100,000.
We saw it.
And she said, she told him, the girl, that's the guy's husband. I mean, the wife. They both work there. The guy that rides the horse, and his wife Ruth works there. And he snuck out. She didn't get to see him when he came in. She told his wife, Ruth, she said, "Tomorrow I want that horse walked around my house and nowhere else. You're going to walk it right in front of my house so I can see you."
What about that?
"They're not going to let you even near the track." She said, they've been riding like that for the last couple of days, and she hadn't even known it. None of them would tell her. She said she had no loyalty among her. Help. They wouldn't even tell her that the one guy was doing wrong. The other ones.
They just taking her money.
That's right. She's gonna cut down. She dropped off 6 today.
Did what?
She dropped 6 hands today off the payroll for the next week or two. Well, maybe for good. Yeah. She said, "I'm cutting back. I'm paying out too much for getting nothing in return."
Sounds good.
Well.
Oh, everything is just boom, boom. Just direct, and she walked out to the barn. She sat down and she opened the drawer and pulled out a piece of paper and wrote down six names, handed it to the guy and said, no more for them. And just like that.
Why me?
And one of them was that jockey.
Well, I mean, he's going to settle with him tomorrow. He went on her list.
She can't get out of it long without him, then, maybe.
Well, I kind of think maybe. Well, she doesn't like him at all. She calls him a yellow-bellied so-and-so. She says that he's nothing but a coward. He won't face up to her. He sneaks away and does everything she doesn't want. He doesn't like she may get rid of him. Except his wife, so good, such a good worker. She does pretty good around here.
And she can't get his wife without him.
Well, I don't know. She didn't say, but maybe, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
Well, that would burn you up if you had a
Well, everything at once was just...
Well... Ed, please.
I saw the guy. I guess it was the guy. A man there. He seemed to be doing...
Is he an older fella?
Yeah. He seemed to be doing the Boston around.
But you didn't get around. You didn't get to talk.
I didn't get to talk.
Well, you don't get anything much through. You got to get your stuff through somebody down there.
Not her.
Ever since everybody's gone. Well, I know Ruth. That's the one. I know the two girls. Bill's wife's still working there.
Oh, she is?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's who y'all talk to.
Does she live there?
I think she lives in one of the trailers. And, Ruth. Those were the two girls that I've always been there since I...
She can tell you where Bill is if you wanted to find him this time.
Yeah. She could.
Now, before, you couldn't find him.
No. Well, I don't know whether she was still working there when he was gone that time or not. See, now that they've broken up, I guess she'll stay. It seemed to me she left with him before when he left. They hadn't broken up.
Yeah. What's the trouble with Bill?
Drinks too much.
And comes to work drunk?
And Ed, too. See, he drinks too much, and he thinks that's what's making him... She thinks that's what makes him sick all the time.
Yeah.
Too much drinking.
Well, now, how did Bill figure in over there when he was just working there, not the head of it?
He was just like one of the hands, only he was a little more than that, probably. He'd
groom the horses?
Yeah.
Feed them?
He was kind of a general handyman, sort of, around there. Drive the tractor or the truck or run errands or whatever. He even rode some of the horses sometimes.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm. Anybody can ride them, work them out.
Yeah. Most exercise. Well, but Bill, that post that they put in, that...
Yeah, Bill and Ed were doing that. Well, it started out just Ed. And then he was messing up, and Bill came over to give him some advice.
Yeah.
And they both couldn't do any better, and then one of the color fellows came over to give him some more advice.
Yeah.
And all three of them couldn't do as well. And then one of the other boys came over to give some advice, and he couldn't do very well.
Yeah.
So it was four of them.
Yeah.
Then she came over there to give some of her advice. But that didn't last long. She just threw up her hands and left. And they were going to then back the truck over. Well, that's a pretty long story, that.
They did what?
Well, see the gate. The L thing that the gate hangs on, the two of them, you know, at the long end. Well, one of them had...
The hand.
Yeah. The thing that, you know, it's like this, that the gate slides down on top of.
Yeah, that's the little... belt hand.
Something like that, yeah. Anyway, the top one had come out, or it was loose or something. The hole was lost its threads or something. And that meant that the end of the gate on the other side was dragging the ground. So then she didn't want that. So besides, that made it real flimsy and some horses could get at her. She has all the gates up about a foot off the ground, so the horses wouldn't get their feet caught in it. So this one was dragging the ground, so she didn't want that. So she told him to fix it. And the gate was about, it came up, you know, head high. And so, or maybe even higher than that. So they took it off, and they were going to drill another hole. But the hole that they were going to drill was, you know, up, you know, a foot above their head. They were trying to use a bracing bit from up there. You know, you can't get any pressure on it, you know, pushing above your head like that. You got to have your body against it. And they fussed and fumed with it like that. And they drilled a hole about an inch, maybe half an inch deep, you know. And of course, the bolt's, you know, 4 or 5 inches long. And then after they got a little bitty hole started, they were going to drive it in the rest of the way with a hammer. Well, they held up there and they were beating on it. And they bent it. And they broke the hammer. And they split the post. And they got a sledgehammer out. That's when they bent it. First they're driving it with a hammer, and they broke the hammer. And then they got a sledgehammer, and they were beating on it, and that bent.
A regular sledge?
Yeah, a big one. Or maybe it was an axe. But anyway, they bent it.
Yeah.
But they kept on beating on it after it was bent, and then split the post. So then they were going to put a new post in. But they got to digging down. It was one of those telephone poles, like we used, some of them, we had about this big round, you know. And they dug down, and it was about 5 feet in the ground.
Yeah.
And weighed a ton. And, of course, it was a corner post, you know. And so they decided against that, and they put all the dirt back in. They decided they'd move to one side of the crack and drill another hole. So they started drilling again. And they drilled and drilled and drilled and drilled and drilled until they finally decided that, yeah, they needed their body up against it instead of just pushing with their hand like that. So they backed the truck up there so they could stand in the back of the truck and do it. Well, the guy backed the truck up there and ran into the post and dented the fender on the truck. Or no, the tailgate was down and it dented the tailgate so that the tailgate wouldn't close anymore. And so anyway, they stood up there on that and drilled away and burned up the bit. And then wouldn't let it cool off. And so they fished around for another bit. And the next bit they got was so short that it wouldn't go deep enough. So they were going to go on the other side and drill a hole this way and meet it. And meet the hole coming the other way, because the bit was they took it out and measured it and just went about halfway to the post through, you know, and they're going to meet it the other way and go another halfway. And so they drilled it in all the way on this side and went around the other side, backed the truck around everything, and drilled from that side. And they got it all the way in. They got down, they looked through the hole, didn't see anything through it, got a nail and they poked it through. The holes had, you know, missed. So, then they were going to take that, they were going to take the thing and screw it in all the way to as far as the hole went and then drive it the rest of the way. Of course,
they're not supposed to drive it, they're supposed to screw it.
That's right. Well, the hole that they that they drill, they were going to screw it in as far as the hole went, and then they were going to drive it in the rest of the way. But they put the thing through there, and it just went right in. The hole was too big. So, then they were going to drill another hole, find a bit that was smaller, but they couldn't find a bit that was smaller. And so then they were going to look for a thing that was just bigger, so it would fit in that hole. And they couldn't find one. And they fished around and looked for bits and more things and doodads and different kinds of hinges. And finally, it was about quitting time, about 4 o'clock. And everybody left, and there was Ed, just sitting there all by himself. He's the one, you know, he doesn't have regular hours, you know, the boss, he doesn't have the hours. The regular hands, they quit it for, but Ed just kind of, so he was left sitting there all alone with the thing. So he just wired it up with a piece of wire and left it, and that's the way I stood when I left.
And this was just going on all the time. That kind of.
Well, now what? Who can she get?
She wondered. She's got to have a new barn. She needs a new. She either needs a whole new barn or an addition onto the one she's got for new stalls and things.
Yeah. Well, now who can she get that she can depend on?
I don't know. She said she may contract me for the dude barn, since I had barn work experience.
Well, but she couldn't keep you.
I don't know what she'd do. Maybe there's enough barn building around to go year round. She says she's so under-barned now, and she didn't have enough room at all. Every time I go down there, there's a new barn.
Oh, really?
She's got...
Well, now, she could certainly get someone to put a barn up for her.
Well, last time, they put up the thing they built. The walls of the thing were made out of 1/4-inch plywood that all the horses proceeded to tear down in no time. 1/4-inch.
The walls?
They just kicked right through it. And plus they didn't make the walls high enough. They made them only like this high and all the horses fought across the top.
They and like that.
Yeah, so they had to raise the walls, and then the guy didn't put in the right kind of feed troughs. They were too high or something. Anyway, the foals couldn't even reach them or something. And put in other ones for them.
I think it's astonishing that she gets anything done, because every day is about the same. Some glances.
Nick, line out that van again. Ed was on a trip.
Ed was going to Georgia somewhere. I think it's Valdosta where they have all those sales and things. But anyway, he was going up there. He had the trailer, the little 2-horse trailer, in his on his Cadillac. And he pulled it, he had 2 horses. And Bill told him before he left, No, he'd never make it because they'd like to run all the accessories at once. The air conditioner and the radio and the fan and everything at once. Plus pulling, he said the motor would burn up. And it did.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Up there in North Florida somewhere. And so, Ed just went to the, I forget whether he ditched the car, just left it in some gas station or something, and bought that van from that the town there, wherever he was, and went on with the horses in the van, and got up there and made the trade or the sale or whatever it was, and came back. I think he was going to bring some horses back too. But anyway, he got back, and with his van, I believe he towed his car back, because I think he got the car fixed. I saw it around later.
Somebody with him?
His wife. That was all.
And she's setting that car.
Yeah. So, when he got back with the van, Bill never didn't like it at all. He thought it was a bunch of junk and thought it cost him more than it was worth. And that's what Miss Davis thought first. And then Ed talked her into it, how they'd all they need to do is fix up a little bit, and they'd have their own van service, and they wouldn't have to hire whoever he is down there to haul all the horses. They could haul them themselves a lot cheaper, save all this money. And so she was talked into and liked it, thought that was what they ought to have. And then it started breaking down, and she poured $1,000 into her, something like that, pay all this money to keep it going. And then after it started, when it started breaking down like that, Ed thought twice about it, and he didn't like it anymore. Thought they ought to get rid of it, change his mind, agreed with Bill. And, but it was too late then because she already liked it and wouldn't let him get rid of it. And especially after she spent all the money fixing it up. It's painted now, too. They got it painted white and black with a stripe around it and the name and the pictures of horses on it and everything. And
it doesn't speak too well for that, for the horse farm, does it?
Well, I don't think they use it much. I know. Maybe they do, huh?
Oh, they just use that around.
They just kind of haul hay around in it.
Yes, that's right. Sure.
If it'll start, that's what's always the problem. It never would start. And it was all busted up. I rode in it. The windows were all broken out, side windows.
Did you say Nick had run into Cookie?
Yeah, you saw Cookie yesterday.
Yeah, I saw him yesterday afternoon when we were in there. He looked funny with his teeth.
Yeah.
He didn't look, his mouth didn't look the same. But he was all alone. Nobody was there but him. He had just bought two horses that he hadn't seen yet. One in Palatka and one in Williston. He had just bought them before, just that day, just before I got there, from somebody. He didn't say, I don't think he said what he paid for them. But anyway, he had to go get them that night. What was that, yesterday? Yeah, last night he had to go get them, one in Palatka, one in Williston. 100 miles apart, he said. Just bought me two horses 100 miles apart. And he was going to take them to Georgia.
Today.
Today. Yeah, this morning. He said he got to go to Georgia this morning, take them horses that he bought that he got to go get that night first. And since he sold his trailer, well, he didn't sell it, he traded it for a pickup truck, three horses, a saddle, and a German Shepherd dog. And the dog got shot. And he sold the saddle for $50, and he sold the truck for $150, and he swapped off the two horses, and he still got one left. So since he didn't have a trailer, he's going to borrow one from a friend that night, last night, and go get two horses. And then get up this morning and take them to Georgia to swap off. But he was figuring on taking four horses to Georgia. The old swayback and another one, two. In which case you have to borrow two trailers and let Frank pull the other one behind him. Two cars in Georgia. And bring some back, I guess. And but he didn't know he could afford that because he didn't have any money. He was sitting on $300 worth of bad checks. And there was $700 worth of bad checks down at the police station that he'd turned in already. And they hadn't found any of them, but they found three of the guys and got the money, which amounted to about $25 out of the $700. And the rest they hadn't even heard of. And so he's got $1,000 out in bad checks. So, but he's going to make it to Georgia again anyway. Somehow.
Well, that flight's gone.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to take the station.
He hasn't been going off and leaving the station.
No, I know. And even if Frank goes with him, you know, if he takes four horses and Frank goes, well, not even Frank to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't say.
Yeah. He's going to work for the university.
Yeah. Starting April 1st.
Starting April 1st.
Yeah.
I used to think, I sort of dreaded to think of that, then he'd be office holder like the rest of us. But I don't think it'll change cookie bit.
I don't think so. He'll have Saturday off to swap around.
Well, those
and he'll get off at 4 o'clock.
Yes. And those fellas over there get sick leave and just anything.
All kind of benefits.
All sorts.
Retirement and all that.
Yeah.
And they'll take it out of his pay to begin with, and he won't have to fool with the income tax.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he can always be sick on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The Georgia day.
Yeah. And several of the others over there, Jack Stokes and all of them can be sick on Tuesday.
That's right.
Let me tell you, I gotta take a little turn on O'Keller. Take this machine and pick up some tape. Is are you out on the road now with Jimmy?
Well, we're not any different than ever before. Just,
well, I mean, you've been going to shows, or...
Yeah, well, shows road. Haven't started yet. Shows start 1st of April.
Yeah.
When the weather warms up.
Yeah.
But we've been going around looking at horses and things.
Yeah.
Things, horses he may want to buy or swap with and things like that. This one tape is one of the trips to see one of the horses.
Well, now, your old facetious about the countryside handling horses. Is that light illuminating any of the behavior up there?
I don't know. I don't see how some of those horses live. We go around those places and see horses in the worst conditions you can believe. Pinned up in stalls they can hardly swat a fly at. Mud up to their knees. Gook and wet and cold. And barns that leak. That's kind of hard. They don't turn them out. Yeah. Holes in. Really bad. Some of the barns you can't even get to without taking your shoes off and wading through the mud all around. All the horses up there are bad. All of them soft, cracking. It doesn't seem like they realize it.
Oh, you mean it's more than just one or two?
Oh, there were one. I haven't seen any different yet. I haven't seen one yet that's kept up properly.
Now, it's such a simple thing to have a shed or a stable.
They all got them, but they're so run down and leaky and drafty and falling down.
Yeah.
Not worth it. They ought to patch it up or something.
But they don't do much patching.
Not at all. I've seen some of the shoddiest gates holding a horse. One place we went to, you couldn't get the one side had fallen in or something. And the only way that you could get to the stalls beyond the first one was to go through each stall. He had cut a hole in the back of each stall. And if you wanted to get the last horse out, you had to drag him through every one of the stalls on the way. You had to go through each horse's stall to get him out, which caused a lot of problems. Every horse wanted to go too. And they all crowd through a little hole and he'd open the gate.
Yeah.
And other ones would get in other ones' pen stalls. Yeah.
That's more than one man job to get a horse out of that kind of shed.
Yeah. I just don't know. It's so little, boy, a horse can even turn around.
Well, now, Nick, I've been working on the way of handling these things. And I learned, I wanted you to read that Hamlet. Oh, this rattle is in there that, where I got the light on it. It's, we picked up last night. You see, he's a sewing machine salesman. And he sells 3 or 4 sewing machines a year. And you see him at the crossroads squatting and talking to people. And also out where the wash pots are. Remember that? And sitting on verandas. Now this is something I had known. And the reason it meant hit me so hard is I was trying to get to Mrs. Guthrie and I couldn't. And I kept thinking, you know, what it was, the way it worked out was, I didn't have any sewing machines to sell. Nothing to take me out in the countryside. Well, I got the hay and I thought that ought to carry you some way, see. But I mean, really. Of course, he's one of them and I'm not exactly. And
Now that is, you see, that is the, that's what takes you out in the country. I like the horses. Well, now your inquiry, though, you have to have a thesis. You have to raise a question, make a statement, like you did. These horses will take you out in the countryside, and these fellows out in the countryside talk better than they handle horses. Now, that's your statement. That sharpens your, you know, you don't see unless you have a little statement. Now, that won't do it. You got to go farther than that. Like Emily Dickinson said, Emily said, art, you see, more than the inquiry would bring you truth, just in a general statement. That is, you have to use it. You have to handle it. Now, I've got a nice little case from last weekend when Faye went to the beauty parlor. She went over. I said, Faye, you're going over there and spend a couple of hours and see what you can see. Well, she came back and said, beauty parlors, and I like the old barber shops. And then she told me something that was just beautiful, a glimpse of Sue talking about that bull they bought me. And when she started using it, you see, just even reporting on it is using it. Just talking about it is reporting on it. You're using your thesis. You can switch thesis, but you got to have a thesis in order to see. Okay, all sorts of things she saw over there. So she got the typewriter, and I don't think one way of using it is enough. I think talking it out and putting on it and it helps too. I can't type it out. I can see a little typing, but not too much. But after I get sort of into it, the typing enables me to be coherent, you might put it that way. I see there's three or four things you see in a row that may be things. I asked that question on the exam, and they said, yes, Rattler had his sewing machines, and he was objective. And I thought for the first time, what has objective got to do with thinking? Yeah. You don't. That doesn't enable you to think. Mm-hmm. So you've got something to take in the countryside. You have your statement. You gotta handle it, you see. Now you got a typewriter, and it make you hold to the line better than just talking. I imagine what it does me. And then I thought of Suzanne and Jim. They've got a week and a half. They got in that little car and they just scoot here and scoot there. When it's over, Suzanne won't have anything to show for it. And you see, her business is her typewriter. When she's out like this, she's not out there planting a garden. Her steak is not in onions. But she carries a thesis out with her and got her typewriter there. But she won't use a typewriter. So you see, your method is part of your sin.
Just because she's gifted and can do it.
Yeah, she has nice little glimpses, you see, but they never add up. And she never sits down and talks. She never wants to talk. At least to where I am, seems to me like what she generally wants to do is flit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call down there and see if this fella.
Now this is Channel 2 over, around 7:30. Channel 2 over, around 7:30. And the end of the little talk with Nick after lunch, this Tuesday, the 23rd of March, 1979. Channel 2 over, around 7:30. 40, and the end of the talk with Nick after lunch, this Tuesday, the 23rd of March, 1971.